Fancy Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan, and we take you to Oxnard to hear from Brian Schottenheimer.
About that, and you know, my stance, I'll just be very clear. My stance with guys that are injured, man, is, you know, whether they're, you know, a couple weeks, a day-to-day thing, the year, man, is like, we love them up. You know, we love them up. We communicate with them. We want them around. And so he's going to be here training his ass off. And, again, I do feel like we've dodged a bullet there.
Medical people telling you he could come back by the opener, week two, three, what are
they talking about? Yeah, the timeline's different. Again, I do think that, you know, it could be a couple weeks. But, again, based on his ability to go and attack this, I think that he'll come back as fast as possible. And that's important.
Yeah, one more. Nate Thomas, what do you guys like about him?
Yeah, I talked about Nate the other day. You know, he big man, worked his butt off coming back from, his injury last year. He's massive. Plays with great length, and I talked to Nate yesterday on the Players' Day off, just walking into the meal, and was just telling him, like, you know, nothing changes. Like, play free, play relaxed. You know how to play this game. Like, don't go out there and be, oh, now I'm with the first group, and oh my gosh, I got to do this. That's the wrong way to approach it. Be excited. You get an opportunity to compete, and he'll get the first shot at it. But, you know, when these guys go in, they say, oh, now I'm with the first group, I got to try harder. That whole thing of trying harder, it doesn't work. You usually put pressure on yourself, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna go so hard now. And it doesn't work. Just play, man. You get this. And big man, great feet, great length, and powerful.
Clarence Hill, DLLS Cowboys. Guy, this was a big camp for him. Certainly, we talked about how he's been out there since the end of the season. How much does this setback his development for year two, just missing his time in practice?
I think, you know, he's going to control that. We're going to control that as a staff with him. And, you know, we're already starting on doing, you know, certain projects with him. You know, Ramon Chinyoung's already got his reps of all his one-on-one pass, you know, protection, you know, clips and all of his run protection clips. And he's still going to be in the meeting. So, you know, I don't think, you know, it's going to be a huge setback for him. The biggest thing for him is to stay mentally prepared, stay mentally in it. But, you know, there's going to be days that it bothers him and it hurts, and he's going to have to push through, and he'll do that. And like I said, these guys that are dinged up and injured, we're going to love on them. We're going to support them, but they got to do the work. And I think that that's part of a young player understanding how important it is that you attack the rehab and the process that you got to do so you feel good going into hopefully that first game. Yeah, so again, Nate, the power jumps off the film, Clarence. I mean, the power of the man in his body. So the first thing that jumps out at you is the ability to get displacement in the run game. He's able to move the dot, we call it, if that's the guy who the back's reading. He's able to move the dot. But you see a big guy with nimble feet, great length. It'll be good for him and Tyler Smith to be communicating. That's a big part of it. We're all over that every day about the communication. But you'll see Awesome Richards over there some. You'll see Hakeem over there some. You know, we're all about creating competition. And but those guys, Awesome and Nate, will get the first couple cracks at it.
Brian, Todd Archer with ESPN. When you look at the injuries you've had the first six practices, whatever it's been, do you look at your practice schedule and say, is that, or is it a lot of just poor luck in some?
It's just football, Todd. I mean, you know, you don't sit there and say, oh, well, hey, if we would have done this, we would have done that. Hey, look, our objective is to get on the field and get off. We're going to work. And like I said, we're going to have a physical camp. And we need to have a physical camp. We need to pop and hit and rap and thud and pads. And, you know, I mean, you look at the play with, you know, that happened to Tyler. It was a blitz and just some bodies got tangled up. And that happens in football. You hate to see it. But again, at the end of the day, as you look at it now, it's like, hey, I think we got away with one.
And have you ever been at a training camp where you've been under a tsunami advisory?
No, but I will admit something that I was a little worried. So I did call Cable last night. And I was like, you know, you hear tsunami, you get really worried. So I was like, Cable, we good? He said, yeah, we're okay. So, yeah, yeah. Well, yes. That's a great point. How in the hell does Cable know? Why am I taking Cable's word for it? I mean, that's a great point. Must have been tired when I answered that question. I'm going to have to ask him that. He said something about he talked to the local police department or something like that. He just said, you're good. And I was like, okay, good. That's all I wanted to hear. Then I was able to go back to sleep. But good point. I need to follow up with him. Who made you a weatherman?
John Machado with The Athletic. Going off the injuries, cornerback, just what's your level of concern at that position right now?
Yeah. again, I think it's, you know, it's an opportunity to find out about some of these young guys. You know, I've been talking about Kyrie. I've been talking about his ability to step up and do things, you know, getting Bland back. You go down the list, you know, we're finding out, you know, what does Kemon Hall look like? You know, how does Kemon do moving out? You know, again, Zion Childress is another young guy that we like. Troy Pride's doing some really good things. And, again, a guy that's really kind of popped over the last couple of days for us is Robert Rochelle. You know what I mean? So, again, the injuries happen. And, again, you don't want to see injuries. You hate it. You support the guys that are injured, and you talk to them about what's the plan to get them back. But it is an opportunity to create competition and build the depth of your roster. And when you play 20-plus games, which is what we're planning on having to play to win the Super Bowl, you're going to need everybody. And someone is going to start in the Super Bowl that was maybe not even on the 53-man roster. That is the nature of pro football today with how big and strong these guys and what a physical and violent game it is. And again, we're getting some good rep. And it's also, you know, allowing us to do some things defensively that sometimes would happen in a game. What do I mean by that? You might have a bunch of nickel or sub packages in, and then all of a sudden you're down a corner or two and you have to play more base. Okay, well, let's see how Maris does walking out of the slot. Can he do that, or who is the best person to do that? And so it's good for us to have to adjust, and we do it during practice, even with the scripts. Okay, hey, Shotty, hey, Flus will say, hey, I got to go more base, or I got to go more jumbo with the offense because we're down a tight end or two. And that's what happens on game day when you're limited to the, you know, to the smaller roster.
Lots been made about the energy at practice, and certainly the loud music supports that. But how does Slow Hand by the Pointer Sisters fit into that?
Well, if you notice where I put it, it was very well thought out, very calculated. It was during a special teams walkthrough. I did get some looks by the guys, and I just kind of did the, you know, it wasn't my request. The cool thing for me when I'm, you know, going signing autographs with the fans and stuff, like, you know, they're excited. They feel the energy. And our guys feel the energy, not just from the music, you know, but from the fans being out here, from the competition. Like, that's the thing that makes training camp fun. I mean, training camp's long, you know, and it's physical and it's demanding. And it's not long days like I remember when I first got into coaching, when you'd have your last meeting end at 10 p.m. and then you'd have to hustle back to grab a beer at staff meeting at 11 o'clock. And then I can always remember, this was a Marty Schottenheimer thing. So literally we'd come in, we'd be watching practice film, and the staff meeting would end about 11:15. And he'd say one of two things. He'd say either offense stay, and the defense ran out as fast as they could. They're like, get higher. Or he'd say, defense, stay. And the offensive guys would be like fist pumping under the table, like, yeah, because they knew that the guys that got asked to stay were getting ready to watch the practice all over again.
Did you know Slow Hand and
who? Of course. Pointer Sisters, baby. I like the faster-paced Pointer Sisters. I'm going to be honest. Like, I'm so excited. I like that one. You know, and I just can't. That's my probably favorite Pointer Sisters song. But it was solid choice. Someone from very high up. Very high up, but it was played at the right time because of special teams walkthrough.
Tommy Arish, DallasCowboys.com. Brian, when you've got young guys like Tyler and Caleb who are missing training camp and could use the reps and kind of maybe had some mental blocks last year, how do you try to
keep the mental side of their game fresh so that when they can come back, they can play confidence when at times it seemed like they were lacking it last year?
Great question. Number one, they're not rookies anymore. They're year two. They've been exposed to a lot more. They kind of know what it looks like. But I would say the starting point is keep them very, very involved in meetings. Fire questions at them. Keep them involved. Make them check their notes. Hey, let me see your notes from today. Like, what notes did you take? What did you learn? What did you put down? And then, you know, still follow your position. So if you're playing the field corner, Kalen, and let's say Kyrie's getting all the reps, like, what did you see? So I'll ask him walking off the practice field, hey, what'd you see? You know, what was a couple plays that Kyrie said that you saw? And you got to keep them involved. And then know that they're going through the mental anguish of I'm hurt and it sucks and I get their frustration. I talked to a number of guys yesterday. I said, hey, this does not define you. You're going to be fine. But the only way you're going to be fine is if you keep attacking the rehab and stay engaged mentally, and that way you're going to pick it up as soon as you get back.
Hey, Coach. Patrick Walker, DallasCowboys.com. Goes without saying your first two opponents are elite on the defensive front and the defensive trenches. When it goes to planning for those guys, do you give your left tackle, be it Guyton coming off of an injury, or Awesome Richards or Nate Thomas, do you give those guys the same trust you have in Cable, or like where does scheming to help those guys come
in? Well, I mean, we obviously have a bunch of time. Honestly, Bedrick, I think D-lines in this league are all now elite. You know, you mentioned two in the division, three in the division that are great, just like ours is. We have tools, but, you know, we don't have to answer that right now. And I'm just excited to watch, you know, Nate, you know, go out there and compete against some elite pass rushers that we have out here. See Awesome compete. And then, again, they're not going to win every rep. You know, they're going to make mistakes, and that's part of practice. And when we get to the game planning part of it, our system is flexible enough that, yeah, we have all the tools that we need to be able to change things up. And at the end of the day, the best thing you can do for any offensive line, any team offense, when you're playing elite defensive linemen, is pound the frickin' football, man. Just frickin', you know, try to shove it up their ass. And that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to be physical.
To your defensive line, how is Sam Williams coming along as far as knocking some rust off after his injury?
He's doing great. He, so competitive. His, you just see him getting comfortable. He's wearing the brace, you know, he's, doing different things. But I saw a pass rush the other day in the padded practice where he came off an edge and he had actually a stunt coming inside, and you saw the explosiveness. And that's kind of what happens with guys coming back. Like, there's a play or two that they speak to. Like, uh-oh, okay, I'm back. Like, and I don't know if that was that moment for Sam, but I did notice the twitch and the things that you're used to seeing from Sam Williams, and that got me excited.
Joe White, Dallas Media. It's a little bit of a convoluted question here. Matt Eberflus says he loves Sean Lee because he's able to get to the most of his abilities, the extent of his potential. DeMarvin Overshown told me that Matt Eberflus wants him to be like Sean Lee in that regard. Is the time away for DeMarvion Overshown, for the guy who's that athletic, could this be beneficial in getting to that point?
Absolutely, and I think Demo's a great example of the question that Tommy asked about the injuries. Like, if you guys, and I mentioned this the other day, you guys watch Demo, he stands by Flus a bunch, and he wants to see the game through Matt's eyes. Why is that so important? Because that's the words and the tone and the speaking that he hears coming into the helmet, and they can dissect things, and they can talk about things, and that's a guy that gets it. That's a guy that understands, okay, yeah, I can't be out there running around right now, but I can still be getting a PhD in Matt Eberflus's, not just his defense, but in what he's thinking, because it's all anticipation. You know, if we're playing situations, critical situations, Dak and I have a great feel for, hey, he's anticipating my thoughts. Is that always that way? No, but we talk through it like, well, I thought you would do this. Well, yeah, here's why I did that. And, oh, yeah, hey, okay, you might be right. Or, yeah, Dak, I agree with that. I should have done that. But that's what he's doing. He's doing that with Flus right now, and I think those reps, they count. They don't not count. I mean, he's not running around, but we all know Demo knows how to run around and make plays. We're not concerned about that. It's him mastering this defense.
Tyler Booker, obviously being a rookie, sometimes when you think of stunts and blitzes, you think how a rookie is going to be able to communicate and handle that. Kind of looks like he's handling it pretty well. Was that part of the draft process in terms of him potentially being an instant impact guy? Is, hey, this is something you can handle from a line?
Football instincts, top shelf. The other thing that really helps with that is his length. His arm length is huge, because when you're trying to pass a game, there's a point of impact where it's a TE and the end's looping inside, and the length allows you to hold it off a little while longer. Guys with shorter arms, they don't have that, so there's more penetration. But his football instincts are excellent.
Welcome to Camp Nui Scruggs.
Where you been, man?
Waiting to come with Papa.
Okay, that's good. I like it. Well, we're in shells today. Tomorrow. Maybe leave now, come back tomorrow. Honestly, do the same. The things we're doing in the evening time, the mocks that really people don't get to see, that's when we do a ton of the game management stuff. We do a bunch of two-minute work. And then, we talk through all that stuff. We really do a great job of debriefing kind of after that practice. So we do the live practice out here. That's great. Then we go, we grade it, we watch it. Then we watch it with the players. But the afternoon stuff, I think, to me, is really the stuff that's where Dak and I are getting on the same page. We're communicating. We have terms that we're using that in one word tells him what we're thinking. I'm not going to tell you what those words are, of course, but the ability to debrief after a practice like that or a mock game management situation is so powerful, because what it's going to allow us to do is on game day during the season when it's breathing and it's hot and the pressure's up and all that stuff, we're both anticipating one another's movements and what we're going to do. And just such a great guy, such a great competitor that it's been very, very normal. Yeah, number one, I think the world of Bill. What a great coach. I do it all the time, and I do it on the field. I do it after the field. I make notes during practice, things I see, as simple as, hey, any competitive period, we need whistles and things like that. But I really love coaching all the coaches because, they're an extension of me. I want to make sure we're doing things the same way in terms of how we teach fundamentals, how we coach effort first. But I love diving into the younger coaches. I think that's part of your responsibility as a coach. Whether you're a coordinator or a head coach, that's your responsibility. These guys have dreams and aspirations, and these guys do an incredible job of making it easy for me and Clayton or, Flus, to when we come up with these plays and scheme, and those are the guys that actually bring it to life on the computers. But if I'm not spending the time leaning into them and teaching them on, hey, this is right, hey, maybe look at this, or hey, having them have chances to lead meetings and things like that with some of our younger players, then you're doing yourself a disservice, because I've said this all along, we're going to win, and we win. When we win, people are going to rate our staff. They're going to want to come in and rate our staff. And I've always been a guy that believes you develop your staff members from within. And when one guy moves out, next guy moves in. Does that always happen? No. But that would be the objective here for us.
Joe Trahan.
Shadi, you've talked a few times about when players get hurt, you like to make sure that you love on them and treat them that way. I've been doing this a long time, and it feels like decades ago when a player got hurt, sometimes they could become persona non grata. Can you talk about how that's evolved and how that's an example of how the way coaches treat players has evolved in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I told the players the other day, this isn't 1988, training camp, whereas, didn't want to be anywhere near the training room. I mean, it used to literally be where you felt like if you went to the training room, you were going to be judged. We want our players communicating, hey, this is tight, hey, this is my back, feels a little this way. We want that because we have world-class trainers and ARTs and chiropractors and all these things that we have to use. But to me, if you're a competitor, which all of our players are, and now you're being told, hey, I'm out for 2 weeks or whatever it is, or maybe longer, you can go into most of these guys, they find their self-worth in what? I'm a football player. I play in the National Football League. Well, I don't see them that way. I see them as the men that they are. I mean, the way they handled opening ceremonies the other day, I can't tell you, I got 4 or 5 letters from people just talking about kids that were here that when their parents came to pick them up, they were crying. There's a letter. I read it. I read it to the team. The kids were crying because it was the best day of their life. And I just said, hey, I want to thank you guys for the type of men you are. And injuries don't change that, And I think sometimes, coaches, they get busy. There's a lot of stuff that comes across our plates that we have to handle. But if you don't keep the main thing, which is having a connection with your players and loving them, whether they're on the field or not, whether they're playing, whether they're hurt, whether they're not, then to me, you're in the wrong business. But I do agree that that's changed. I don't think it's always been that way. There certainly was coaches that were that way. Hell, there's probably coaches that are that way today, but I'm certainly not one of them.
With Turpin, it seems like based on the reps that we're seeing, you guys are focused on trying to get him the ball in a variety of different ways. How do you see his role in this offense? And take me through trying to get him the ball in space, some of the interior handoffs. Can he work in that space in your mind?
Oh, yeah. If you think about it this way, Mike, it's literally – it's a punt return. That's different because it's usually a little bit more space, so I get that. But the one thing Turp never does is he never checks up. He never changes speed. So let's say he's pressing the B gap. He's going to press the B gap, and he's so damn quick that if the B gap shuts and he's got to get to the C or the A gap, he's fine doing that. Are we going to make a living doing that with Terp? No. We're not going to make a living doing that with Terp, but we're going to get him the ball. We're going to get him the ball doing different things. And, again, kudos to him. I mean, my first year as a coordinator, he could not handle all the things mentally that we're doing with him now. Now, it's kind of fun for me because I see him coaching Josh Kelly. Like, I mean, that's really cool for me. I'm like, I'll be damned. Terp's coaching Josh. Like, that's how well he's mastered what we're doing. And game changer, man. Game changer. And I know one thing, when the defensive coordinators see him standing over there by me, they're like, okay, let's take a deep breath. Okay. Oh, here he comes. I mean, that goes through their mind.
There you go. Brian Schottenheimer, casual swear as always. I don't hate it. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll do a little My Buddy's an Idiot and also check in with Chris Kappas from FC Dallas next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. In case you missed it, here's the rundown for Fan Phenom returning. These are all on Thursdays, August the 7th at Jake's in Sachse, August the 14th at Jake's in Grand Prairie, August the 21st, the Jake's in Fort Worth, and August the 28th, the Jake's in Frisco. Those will all take place after a live G-Bag Nation broadcast from those specific Jake's. Now is your chance. Now, Corey, you are already on The Fan, so yes, you're okay.
That is true. I am on The Fan, and I do love Jake's.
Okay, so you can still go.
Yep.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through The Fan. Right now, we bring to you from FC Dallas, it is Chris Kappas. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Happy to talk to you guys.
Yeah, thanks for jumping on with us. I was reading something that said you prefer Chris as opposed to Christian. What was the logic of that decision?
So I will actually do the opposite there. I much prefer Christian over Chris.
Oh, what?
Heard some fake news there, buddy.
All right. Hold on.
I'm already a fan.
One this is second.
Great. This is
dang
awesome.
I'm going to find the article where it said, it was within the last week, it said preferred Chris over Christian. I'm a chump. Let's start this over. Christian, welcome to the program. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here.
All right. Well, you're probably happier to be here now, and I'm super embarrassed. I'm glad we could get that right. Now, I know we're going to talk plenty about FC Dallas. I'm hoping that you could tell everybody, for folks who don't know, how far back your experience with Coach Quill goes.
Yeah, so I first met Eric when I was probably 15 years old back in Houston playing in just a youth team there. He joined our club and he was probably my coach for 3 or 4 years there until I was 18. And yeah, we had a lot of great memories, won a lot of games, some trophies, and I have a lot to thank him for in terms of my development, for sure.
And all those great memories, you two ever share any brisket sandos together?
Not that I can remember, no, actually. I might have to change that here.
There you go. Yeah, I got to get a couple of them.
As long as we're changing things, I'm going to direct you to fcdallas.com. There is a whole bunch of other stuff on there, but it essentially, it's essentially talks about your acquisition and Houston and everything like that. But if you move on down the article, it says transaction details. I'm sorry if I get this wrong. Christian, is it Jaeger Kappas?
That is spot on.
Boom. Next line, preferred name. Chris.
We're gonna have to change it. Gotta call the webmaster.
Somebody's in trouble over here.
I will take some responsibility for this, but clearly I'm not gonna take all the responsibility for this. Now, I know we're having some fun, but I also know that FC Dallas has been after you for some time, the way I understand it, going all the way back to 2018. I was hoping you could maybe shed some light on that if you can, and maybe why that didn't all come together.
Yeah, for sure. So It started, I joined the FC Dallas Youth Academy when I was 18 for my last year of high school, pretty much. And toward the end of the year, I had done well and they were happy with me. And so they said, you know, we'd like to bring you into the first team here. And basically the way it worked out is there was some crazy rule in the MLS that said, because I am born and raised in Houston within a certain distance of the Houston Dynamo Stadium, that I needed to play for the Houston Dynamo. I couldn't sign for Dallas. And so I told the MLS, okay, if that's your decision, I'm not going to go play for a team that wasn't super interested in me as a young player. And, you know, even though I was in the area, and I'll go and make a career somewhere else. So I headed off to Denmark. I was in Denmark for almost 6 years. And then I've been in Norway for the last year. And when I got the call from my agent, said that, you know, Dallas was interested. That was it was a no-brainer. I knew Eric was here. We had a good conversation about it, and things ended up working, so I could come back now, and I'm extremely happy to be here.
This is a selfish question, I'll admit, but since you talked about playing in Denmark, playing in Norway, I'm heading off to Germany tomorrow. This is my first trip overseas. Do you have any international travel tips for me?
International travel tips for you. I'd say the first one is get to the airport on time. That's a good start.
Yep.
Other than that.
Then I'm all set.
Good question. Yeah.
Get people's names right, maybe.
Okay.
All right. Yep.
That's a good place to start. No, just I'd have Google Translate downloaded. You can do that. And I think you can take a picture of it nowadays. So it's pretty... it's pretty easy to get by over there.
Okay, I'm going to download Google Translate as we speak. That's a great suggestion. And I know you told us your story to get to FC Dallas, and it's all just happened, you know, as of late. But how does it feel now that you've made it here?
I think it's starting to set in that, you know, this has really happened, and, you know, we're moving here and finding an apartment and place to live and everything like that. So I think that, you know, it's a very comfortable feeling. It feels, even though I'm not from Dallas, it feels a bit like coming home. You know, just knowing the guys, I've only been here a week or so, and everybody's been very nice and welcoming to me, with as well as everybody in the club. So it's been it's a really nice feeling to be back.
Well, and you talked about your experience with Coach. What do you think the benefit is of knowing him and kind of knowing what he expects?
I think it helps a lot. I think it's knowing how he likes to do things, how he likes to get the best out of his players, already having that experience with him, and, you know, knowing what I can bring from my experience as well. I know he's changed a lot in these last 7 or 8 years. I've changed a lot. And so to be able to talk and, you know, bring our new ideas and experiences to the conversation for how we can, you know, best help the team and my role here, it's really nice to have.
Man, we're really excited you're here. I'm glad you shared your story. And so best of luck getting settled before y'all's got your match coming up in about a week against Portland. Thank you very much for the time.
Of course. It was great to talk to you guys, and enjoy your trip to Germany.
Thank you very much. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Christian Kappas right here on 105.3 The Fan.
I know it's not fun in the moment, but it is fun in the moment. I hope as listeners that they enjoy those things. And I hope that, you know, I enjoy those moments, even whenever it's me. I think it's funny and hilarious, and I like it.
That's all fine and well. Yes. Tell me what website this is from.
I can't see.
Yes, you can. It says FCDallas.com. Okay. Preferred name.
Uh-huh.
Does it say Chris or does it not?
Christian Kappas, Kevin.
Shut up.
If you know how to read.
You are a liar. Liar.
I think you just wanted to call him Chris. And you made that decision up in your mind.
Man,
and, that's how that went. But I love the fact that he was like, he went right at you. That was good. That was funny.
And yes, I do see the people who are like, Kevin's always trying to push Christian agendas in these FC Dallas interviews. But you know what I'm most excited about? He said his tip for international travel was get to the airport on time. We can do that. And I also just downloaded Google Translate.
There you go.
I feel like I'm set. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Want to throw this out real quick from the 972. Gentlemen, this is the shout-out napkin Ricardo. Definitely remember him. Update. After 13 days at the hospital, his grandma, who is a staple at our Buffalo Wild Wings tour as well, Sharon McLeod, is coming home. She's grateful for all of you guys. That is so nice.
Great news. Great news.
And I'm grateful for all of the coverage we're getting out in Oxnard, courtesy of those fine folks from the G-Bag Nation. And we bring it to you right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. Gentlemen, how is ya?
Doing terrific after that Mama is Coming Home update that I just got from you, Hagee, and we're excited about Cowboys practice going to be underway shortly.
Does it feel like a void out there when there is no practice for the day? You're like, I don't know what to do with myself.
No, we just grill Steve Jones is what we do.
All right. So
good work, guys. That was good.
Never an off day for us.
Yeah, that was good work, Dawson.
Dawson went after it yesterday. I'll tell you what.
He
warned us, too. Dawson told us, he's like, listen, guys, I got the bulldog mentality right now. We're about to make some noise and make something happen. And we just backed up. I mean, our group just backed up. Dawson was 2 feet away from that man. Could have been a fist fight.
So I told Dawson after the interview, I loved the intensity, but also I love that Stephen Jones said something that is now going to become part of my life. Is, well, about 90% of what you said is factually inaccurate. And then when asked to explain that 90%, I go, I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to start using that in my everyday life. If somebody confronts me on something, I'm going to be like, 90% of what you said is inaccurate. And they're like, which part? I'm going to be like, I'm not going to talk about that. And I'm just going to walk off.
I think the 10% was they had a deal. I think that's what it is.
I've been wondering what that 10% was.
I think this thing is hinging on 1 year right now. I think that's what we're doing right now.
It's par for the course for the Cowboys. Dax was the 4 versus 5.
I think that's what we're hinging on right now, boys. I really do.
He was also, you guys got him to be really upfront about Trayvon Diggs not being there and brought us, I know you mentioned Britt Brown, and Steven came back with, as far as I know, this is the only person that I can think of who hasn't been here. And then he flat out said, we think he would be further along, which I thought was an astonishing revelation from y'all's interview yesterday. Good job.
Oh, I think he was mad. I think the Joneses are mad about several things going on, several fronts, and they're getting attacked on a lot of different areas, and rightfully so in some ways, but he answered the question. But yeah, his dad set the tone, like, we weren't happy with what's going on with Diggs, and he just followed up with that.
I don't know if it's about this year as much as it's about how he rehabbed last year and then had another injury. You know, I think there's a lot of stuff going on there. I don't know if the players are better off rehabbing here. You know, somebody pointed out on Twitter, you know, about Michael Jordan going getting Grover, and that was a big boost to his career. So maybe it works better for some players than it doesn't. But here's what I know. The Cowboys feel very strongly about it, you know, that you're going to get the best work done here. So I think if you want to be a Cowboy long term and you don't buy into that, you're in trouble. And I'll be surprised if Trayvon Diggs is around here next training camp. And I'll tell you what, to Trayvon's credit, he's been amazing. He's come by the 10. He said what's up to us. His attitude has been outstanding. I think he's trying to play catch up, you know, and trying to get some goodwill going. But the only thing that's going to do that, I think, is if he can come back and play at an all-pro level by midseason.
As you guys get ready for practice to resume, aside from your amazing, like, on the spot coverage, are there any particular players, position groups that you're focusing in on today or perhaps the rest of the week?
I mean, it's got to be the left tackle that Steven told us about yesterday, Thomas.
Yeah.
Nate Thomas.
Nate Thomas.
Is he going to get destroyed by these edges when they do pass reps? And then, you know, Brian's been telling us about Perry and Winfrey, and I'm late to that party. I think I'm like 4 or 5 days late to the party, but I'm excited about seeing, you know, what I can see with him today, because he might be the guy to play alongside Osa.
They seem to feel good about this cornerback room, and I'm going to keep an eye on what's going on. You know, Zion Childress was actually a guy that impressed me in the first padded practice, but now with Carson out, they're pretty thin at that position. So, I mean, do you still see progress from guys like Troy Pride? What's going on with some of the other options that they've got there? Kamon Hall, the North Texas Mean Green product. So, certainly the secondary, that's one that I'll be keeping an eye on. But we got you on the Nate Thomas, Corey. I know you're pretty pumped about that. I liked what Shoddy said. It was pretty much our scouting breakdown from yesterday, the power. That's what stands out about Nate Thomas. Yeah. I think the speed might give him some problems.
Yeah, it's really kind of surprising, though, that to me, with the veteran player, with Austin Richards, and, you know, here's Austin Richards has lined up and, you know, played for you, practiced for you, and Thomas really did absolutely nothing last year. The only thing that he's been doing, and this happens through, I think this is a coaching deal. I think this is about Connor Riley and then, Clayton Adams. I think they're in that mode right now. Like, listen, we kind of watched and evaluated this team. We think that maybe this guy might have more than Austin Richards. Even though they're using Austin Richards, he's the one guy that's been the swing guy. Everybody else has played the same position. Austin Richards has played both the right and left side.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be, especially with the shells today, I'm going to be looking at the receivers and the running backs and seeing which of those guys are out there making some plays. Hopefully Blue. I would love to see Blue get going in some way today, because we haven't gotten to really see that firsthand yet. But
he's been good. You know, he's been good as far as he and Sanders are the most explosive guys you got running the way.
Well, yeah.
Turpin there too. Yeah.
I was kind of curious if you, without Micah, if y'all been able to get a good understanding, good idea of what Eberflus, like what his defense is going to look like, and if he's getting a good idea of, you know, even without Mike, I can do these things and we're going to be good, or, oh man, I can't wait to get Mike in because of this.
Well, he's running some double A-gap mug looks, which Mike is really, really good at. Maybe that's something he stole off the film that he saw with Mike Zimmer last year. When he gets down in the red zone, he's not going to let you feel comfortable. He's going to bring the house. There's a couple of times they got guys home. You're going to see some slot blitz stuff. Mm-hmm. I know we did 3 live mics the other day. Wolchuk said, oh, here comes that slot blitz. That's something that, that goes all the way back to Rod Marinelli and those guys, you know, what they did at Tampa with Rondae Barber. So you're going to see that probably be a part of stuff. Like I say, I think that he's interested when his nickel, he's going to put 4 rushers on the field. He is not going to put anybody that can't rush on that field when he gets you in that nickel situation. I think he's going to try and get guys home. He's probably a little bit worried about his secondary, even though some of his guys are playing okay right now. But he's probably thinking about getting a game. I got to get some guys home before that ball gets out.
What do you find, fellas, got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, Haggy, thanks so much for asking. We will have more 3 live mics coming up here at about 2:20, 2:30 or so. We'll have Donovan Ezeraku coming up on the show,
I believe,
at 3:40. So Brian's going to get off the field after 3 live mics and covering everything at about 3:15, 3:20. I think we're going to do Krusty's Corner there if practice schedule cooperates. Ezeraku coming up at 3:40, and of course Jared Sandler at 5 with all the trade deadline buzz 24 hours out.
Love to hear that. Roll home with a jam-packed G-Bag Nation live from Oxnard. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with most of us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say something in German, Kevin.
Guten Morgen.